Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Well, he's not here, Mark.
Well, sometimes you got to watch the guy. He'll slip out on you.
I think there's a big old man's golf tournament, and that's a big deal.
Is that this weekend?
That's this weekend.
Man, that is a big deal.
That's a big deal. So we just hope Randy hits a lot of fairways and lots of greens.
That's
right.
Makes
a lot of putts. So Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter. Mark, I hope you're doing well, pal. I know it's been a busy week. Had a big golf tournament Monday and Tuesday, I guess, out at Rock Creek. And I know things went well. We'll talk a little bit about that in just a minute. But today we are coming to you from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. And we're just going to mix it up a little bit. I think it's a great day to mix up everything and talk a little bit of – really, we're going to talk a little bit of baseball with Joey Warner, who – man, you're talking about a baseball encyclopedia?
Yes.
Joey's a baseball encyclopedia. And then we're going to get Bart Heitch on and talk a little bit about basketball and kind of wind those two up. But I wanted to talk basketball even after it's over because Ben Thomas and the AO.com people have picked, or somebody picked, it was under their byline that they picked the top five basketball players in the state of Alabama, and we got some really, really good ones. And some of them are really, really young, too. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about high school golf. Going to throw that at you and let you talk about some of these players around here that are really, really good and maybe some teams that have a chance to win a state championship. And then along the way, we're going to talk about the Bryant Jordan Awards that were presented earlier this week and some just really two really neat stories about the two really big winners. But, of course, everybody on there that won, Mark, is a big winner.
No doubt.
It's such a prestigious award, and it's something that I know the AHSAA is proud of, and Larry Striplin and the guys that were the ones that preceded everything here and got things started as a result of their good fortune. And it's just it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that we have going there, and we're excited about that. We're going to have to talk about the elephant in the room. We're going to have to talk about the executive director and who may be our next one. I'm sure there's some names that float around out there, but I think qualifications is the thing that you and I want to talk about and the things that they'll need to do to be able to step into that job. It is such a tough, tough job. We've seen a dear friend of ours. I've seen three of them, and I've seen the life that they all live, Bubba Scott and Dan Washburn and Steve Savarese. And having done a little bit of work for Steve, but lots and lots of work for Dan and for Coach Bubba Scott, it aged them, you know. They live 2 years in 1 year. I mean, it's just a tough, tough job, and you never make anybody happy. I mean,
No. It's
just, you got to make rulings.
And it's a whole new world nowadays. When you and I first started in this business, the world has changed, society has changed. There's so many different obstacles that are faced by students, coaches, schools, communities. And then to be the executive director or on that council, they have a lot of decisions they have to make, rulings they have to make, things that come down the pipe that may not have come down the pipe 20 years ago. And so they're having to make stuff, and it's very difficult. And from my understanding about that whole thing is it's a never-ending job.
Never stops.
It never stops. Yeah. You may take a couple of days off, but when you get back, it's just double the load.
Yeah.
It never ends. There's always something going on.
And always going. I mean, there's always meetings that they have to go to. Steve never stopped. He never, ever stopped. He and Beth were always on the road going to National Federation meetings and so on and so forth. And matter of fact, Terry Curtis is now the president of the Central Board of Control. Makes me feel old, but Kim Keel, a former Northview student at Northview High School in Dothan, which is no longer there.
True.
And Kim is now the principal at Pelham High School, where Mike Vickery is the head football coach. And, of course, our buddy Glenn Vickery, his son, I know he's so proud of of his son, Mike, that's the head coach at Pelham. But Kim Keel is the principal at Pelham. She's the vice president. So, you know, we know those people and know, man, you're talking about good, solid people. And they will have to make some tough decisions in their position. So this is it's just tough. So, but we're excited about it. We think that, anytime there's change, there's some good and there's some bad. You know, when you look at the job that Alvin Briggs has done, he's faced a tough job from the day he got in there. And we just hope that he has nothing but the best as he moves forward. He's had to deal with some things that no other directors have had to deal with specifically, because we've gotten into stuff almost like NIL.
Right.
And it's not been something that his predecessors have had to deal with. So we wish Alvin nothing but the best, and we love Alvin. He's a fabulous man. You hear Alvin's story about him being at Auburn and being one of the first African-American mm-hmm. players there, and it was a tough time for him. But, boy, he has overcome a lot, and we just wish him nothing but the best. Talk a little bit about golf. Talk a little bit about your tournament, and tell me how that went on this week.
First of all, the good Lord knew we needed some good weather, and he blessed us in vast amounts. It was one of the most beautiful 2 days that we've had this spring.
Yeah.
Just great weather, and the kids were able to get out and play a lot of golf. We had 107 kids playing, 22 schools. That's boys and girls, 9 girls teams, 13 boys teams, and the Admiral Invitational was a lot of fun. I mean, it's so much, so refreshing when you get to go around and see all these different yeah. coaches and yeah. kids from different areas, and just to talk with them. And then for them, there was 3 or 4 different teams, Houston Academy and St. Paul's, Jackson, there's a couple others that I can't think of off the top of my head. Every one of their team members came by the head table before they left and thanked us
yeah.
for putting on the tournament and letting them come and be a part of it. And it was a really fun tournament. The kids had a good time. And, you know, anytime you got 107 kids and 25 coaches and 200-something parents, and there's people everywhere, administrators, teachers, other students out watching, just walking, driving around the course, yeah. there's people everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, there's always going to be 1 or 2 places where it gets backlogged and you have to wait a little bit, but they didn't bother them a bit. And our girls coach, Caroline Beebe Skato, just did a fantastic job running the girls. She ran most of the girls side of the tournament, and what a fabulous coach she is, in addition to our staff at Benjamin Russell.
You better watch out,
man,
boy.
That came right out of nowhere.
Watch out.
At Bayside Academy. Yeah, Caroline just does a fantastic job. And, man, she came in and just helped get this thing put together. And our administrators at school, Robert Upliger at Rock Creek, man, what a fabulous job he did with his staff there, the cafeteria staff. I don't know which – how do you call that? Is that the clubhouse staff? What are they, the people who provide your food?
That's just the kitchen staff.
It's the kitchen staff. Yeah, there's a name yeah. for it. Whatever, they do a fantastic job. Megan and her staff, they actually drove out and delivered food on the course to the coaches and kids. And culinary department. There you go. Thank you, Steve. Somebody's got to help us two
Love
old
that.
Coaches with a little bit of education in here today. But they did a fantastic job. So great tournament, lots of fun. And we just appreciate all the teams that came in and participated with us and all of our sponsors. One of our title sponsors, one of the sponsors of our show, Capital Building Products,
yep.
Richard Thompson and his wonderful wife, Roxy. They sponsored the tournament, and they were just wonderful. His crew was out loading up drinks and
yeah.
snacks all over the tournament, all over the course both days. So.
Now, if you play Rock Creek, you know that there's, of course, 18 holes. But that front nine, the greens are not nearly as good as the back nine.
They're about to get redone.
They're about to be redone.
Yeah.
So it's going to really be a fine golf
yeah,
course
is.
Once they get those greens redone. And they're not bad right now.
No.
I mean, they're very, very playable. They're just a little bit slower than that back nine. But boy, that is a beautiful layout, and it's a fun play. And as a matter of fact, you got a chance to visit probably with a former Alabama quarterback, didn't you? In Houston Academy's coach.
Oh, Don Jacobs and I. There you go. We had several discussions. In fact, about our high school baseball game we played against.
We want to hear those stories when we come back. Hey, you're listening to the Thompson Tractor Press Sports Report. We'll be right back. And that first segment goes fast. We'll be back. Mark Lassiter and Rick Cleveland, Randy Bergen.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name in lights above it.
We got to get a picture of Randy on the tee box.
Yes, he's your big debut.
Put that on the website.
It's like a dream come true.
Right under a Steely Dan verse.
That's right.
That's where it should be. All right, Mark. So since you were playing golf, we were playing tennis. So
yeah,
had the boys and girls 4A, 5A. You know, we got it now where there's not a 4A, but there's a 4A, 5A in tennis. And is the golf the same way? Or do y'all have
– No, there's –
It's 1-3A, right?
One and 2A.
1 and 2A.
3A, 4A. 5A, 6A, 7A.
So everything but 1 and 2A have enough golf teams to have their own.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're not that fortunate in tennis. There's not nearly as many kids playing tennis today all over the state of Alabama. And so what we have the 4A, 5A Section 1 tournament that took place this Monday and Tuesday at Gulf Shores. Owen Corcoran did a great job running that tournament, and all the other section tournaments were played at the Mobile Tennis Center. And the top two teams in sectional play earned spots in the state tournament, and that will be played Monday and Tuesday of this coming week, and that will be played – the 4A, 5A will be played at Mobile Tennis Center, and the 7A boys and girls will be played at Mobile Tennis Center as well. So 1 through 3A, I want to say, will be in Montgomery, and the 6A will be somewhere else. I don't know where it'll be. I'll have to – hadn't done a lot of work on that lately. But let me give you the winners. Hadn't got any winners in the 1A, 3A boys. In the 4A, 5A, UMS Wright. I'm mighty proud of those kids. If you would have told me at the beginning of the year, those six kids that we were putting on the court would win a sectional tournament, I'd have said, I got to bet a couple of Dewdrop hot dogs on that. There's too much competition. We're way too young. We got a really good player at number one. Jarek Fan is a really, really good player. As a matter of fact, he played a kid from Bayside that's a really good player, too. Montgomery Beal is a really, really good player. I like that team. I really like that team. Jonathan Vines has got, but he's got David Pontovic, this helping you guys, and he's really done really a good job with them. And I like their team. Really nice kids and do a great job. But UMS Wright boys, Jarek Fon, Jacob Cooper, James Holland, Cole Morin, Joshua Dean, and Luke Kennedy. I am so stinking proud of those six kids. They played so very well and overcame so many obstacles during the year to win the sectional tournament that will play in the state tournament Monday and Tuesday here at Mobile Tennis Center. And then Bayside. Bayside came, it was 48-45, Mark. It went down to the last doubles match.
Mm-hmm.
And what a great tournament it was.
That's the way you like them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's the only way it can be for all of we just got some teams in Bayside. And you know, when we played a regular season match, it was 5-4. So you knew. And in the finals, there were – Bayside had all six of their singles players in and two of their doubles teams, and that was what really told the story at the end, them not having their number three doubles team in and us having four singles players and all three doubles teams, because doubles count 3 points.
Gotcha.
And singles count two. So that ended up being the difference in that. So, but it was a great tournament, and congratulations to Jonathan Vines, who's a wonderful one. He's just a guy that you love to be around, and he's such a kind man.
He is.
I mean that, and that's special. That's special. You're not like those us old-time guys that, gosh, man, you playing every point with them. It's okay, Coach. Everything will be fine.
He's just so – he's that way in everything he
does. Yeah.
He's also an excellent teacher.
Yeah,
very bet. Good teacher at our school, one of the best teachers at our school. And he's just got that – he has that – the it factor, yeah. I guess you can call it, with his relationship with kids.
Yeah.
He just has a manner of – and it's always the same. What you yeah. see every is what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Now he gets a little fired up in a basketball
game. Oh yeah. Now he does, you know, do that.
He does. Yeah. But at the same time, it doesn't last long. I mean, he yeah. is very calm, very, and just has a wonderful demeanor. And man, we're so glad to have him at Bayside
great
Academy.
Hire. Yes. Great hire.
Knocked it out of the park.
Really
on that one.
Great hire. Let's go on through this in the 6A, St. Paul's Austin Johnson and his guys won the boys, and McGill Tulin under Jason Abraham finished second. Class 7A, Fairhope and Daphne were the boys' winners. Then in girls, class 1A through 3A, St. Luke's was the girls' winner. In class 4A, Meredy Jones girls were a runaway winner, but Bayside came in second. Meredy's got a loaded team. She's really got a really good team, and those young ladies just performed absolutely super. So excited for them. Class 6A, St. Paul's, and Class 7A, Fairhope and Daphne. So it's pretty much the same all the way through. So in Class 6A, by the way, St. Paul's and McGill Tulin are also in the girls as well. So great tennis. Gonna be if you really are a tennis fan, you want to see some really good players, come out to Mobile Tennis Center Monday and Tuesday. Scott Novak and his crew out there just do a fabulous job. And it'll be some really good tennis Monday and Tuesday at Mobile Tennis Center. Now, golf-wise, where do y'all go as far as is section play about to get started?
Sectional starts on the 29th, so we got not quite 2 weeks away, but we got a week off next week. We got – before we go into sectionals, and we go to Dothan to play at the Dothan Country Club. We'll play
that's
up there.
A good place. That's it's a good course.
And they've redone the whole thing, and it's nice. Greens are a little hard, but they're really nice. It's a nice course. It's a great layout, and we'll go up there. And I love going up there and seeing Don Jacobs. He coaches the girls team, and Kevin Klein is the director of sectionals, and he does a great job with it. And I just love going up there. Of course, Emery Ladd, the headmaster at Providence Christian, he and I graduated Alabama. We went through all freshman year all the way through together. We had the same courses all the way through, and just a delightful person. You know, he is a Dothan boy. He's born and raised. I think he went to Dothan High School.
He was a Dothan High School guy. Yeah, he was. We go back too. When we were at Northview, Emery was all over the place at Dothan. He's a big weightlifter at that time.
He was. I think he's got. He still stays in shape.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. I mean, he looks a whole lot better than I do. It's like we're the same age. But he's just a great guy. He and Kevin, they put that Raider Eagle tournament on.
Yep.
At the same place, and so, but going back up there to see those folks is a lot of fun.
That's good people.
We'll be up there, and I'm thinking our girls go to girls sectionals. I don't remember if
they might be in Montgomery.
I don't know if they're in. I think they're at Arrowhead.
There's one at Cottonwood. I know that there's a Cottonwood.
That's the 6A.
I think.
I heard Brent. Okay. And them talking
That's
about
right.
that.
Okay.
But I think the girls, I think Caroline said they're at Arrowhead.
Okay.
Which is usually Montgomery Academy puts that on.
Well, I think it's about time we got to get out of here for this segment. When we come back, we're going to talk to Joey Warner about high school baseball. Big tournament coming up. They, you know, we used to play the East-West game, and they stopped that about in 2012. I'm sure you know some people that played in that. I know I do. And we're going to bring some other kind of game back, very similar to the East West. We'll talk to Joey Warner about that, the baseball guru here in high school baseball, right here on Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. The Pops Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106.
Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Turning face the stars and stripes, it's fighting back them butterflies, it's calling in the air around
you. Said, we might need to get boys to fall out. Nah, don't take Kenny Chesney out of there. Keep Kenny in there.
No doubt.
Nah, I mean, he's got the stature of Boz Gags and Steely Dan, as far as we're concerned.
Absolutely.
So we love some Kenny Chesney as well. You know, Mark, we have the opportunity all the time to talk to people that we think really know a lot about a lot of things. And, you know, when I think about high school baseball and I think about a guy that's really just dug deep into it, I mean, he's hit it to first, rounded second, going to third, and, man, he's almost in for a home run is Joey Warner. Joey has done such a super job of covering baseball, not just one particular aspect of baseball, but every aspect of baseball, all the way from our pro players down to South Alabama, and then to talk about high school players. And, I mean, I look forward so much to, you know, he's got a podcast. Joey's got a podcast over at WNSP. And they do such a fabulous job with that. And I get a kick out of listening to those guys because they talk baseball. And, you know, they probably even know who Jimmy Key is. I'm not the only one in Mobile that knows who Jimmy Key is. But we wanted to get Joey on today because – he's part of bringing, you know, we used to have the East-West game, and we're all familiar with the East-West game. I umpired the East-West game one time when Bo Jackson hit a home run at old Rickwood Field, and he hit it out there into the graveyard. I mean, yeah. he touched home plate and didn't say a word. I mean, and he ran the bases like it was a sprint. So I want to welcome Joey. Joey, thank you for being on PSR with Mark and I, and thank you for everything you do for baseball in South Alabama.
Well, I thank you, Rick. Man, that means a lot. And Mark, I'm glad to be on with y'all, man, and I really appreciate y'all having me. I hear the kind words you say about me, and it's not about me, buddy. It's about the people, and y'all two do a great job. You've been doing a great job for many years, bringing all sorts of prep sports to the public, and we appreciate you every Saturday morning, my man. Thank you again.
It's fun talking about it, and you're right in the middle of something I think that is really neat. You know, we had the East-West baseball game for a long time, and it featured in different parts of the state kids from different areas playing against each other in an all-star game sponsored by the Lions Club. And we lost that in 2012. And so we're no longer doing that Lions Club game, but you guys have come up with something that I think is really, really neat. Talk a little bit about that and give us the particulars about what's going to be going on with this big game that's going to be played over at, I want to say it's going to be played over at McGill Tulin's home baseball park.
Right. It's going to be at the Archbishop Lipscomb Complex, which is the home of McGill Tulin Yellow Jackets, over off of Michael Boulevard in Mobile, right next to Matthews Park. It's a really good facility over there, and it's going to be on May 9th at 7 p.m. And the thing about it, Rick, is the admission is going to be $5. And if you want to bring a family, it's $20 for a whole family. If you got 12 people, 12 kids, you know, Catholics, St. Michael's, Catholics from McGill, some of them do. Our old Philip Rivers, how many kids has he got, 15?
He's got 10 right now. He's got 10. And I'm not sure if he's going to have any more. They're going to have any more, but he's got 10. He sure does.
What a great guy. But anyway, $20 for a family. And but if you don't want to pay admission, if you have extra baseball gear, equipment, old bats, balls, you know, it's in pretty good shape, we'll take that as a donation in lieu of an entry fee or an admission fee, and we're going to distribute that to the inner city schools around Mobile that are less fortunate and don't have the equipment that some of the other schools in all the other schools in Mobile do. So, again, May 9th, 7 p.m., and earlier that day, we're going to have a luncheon. And that's going to be at Moe's Grill in downtown Mobile from 11 to 1. And we're going to have all the players that will be selected for the game. And we're also inviting former major leaguers from our area that can attend. And I've got a list of about 25 out there, and maybe later I can kind of give them an invitation over your broadcast.
But, absolutely.
But
yeah.
Anyway, there's a whole slew of them out there, and if they'll come out, we're gonna honor them in recognition of who they are first and what they've done for Mobile, and representing Mobile is making it to the major leagues, because we know how hard that is, and they're gonna become a part of a brand new association or a fraternity. We're calling the Frank Bowling Fraternity. Frank Bowling, as we all know, was him and Milt Bowling represented Mobile in just an admirable way. They were one of just four combinations of brothers that played with each other on the same. They played with the Detroit Tigers. They even had an opportunity to hit first and second, and Milt played short, and Frank played second, but. What Frank wanted to do before he passed away, he talked with Joe Connick on this, and Joe Connick and James Hattenstein, Bishop State coach, are the founders of the Mobile Mobsters, who were sponsoring this event, or not sponsoring it, but organizing this event. Frank told Joe that he wanted to form a fraternity, a Frank Bowling fraternity of former major leaguers that could, pull together and stick together and just, represent Mobile in recognition. It kind of like along with our Hall of Famers, which is Hank Aaron, Willie McCovey, Billy Williams, Ozzie Smith, and the great Satchel Paige. And with all our tradition of baseball here, we're going to start with this Frank Bowling fraternity at Moe's Grill, and hoping maybe the players, if they can't, major leaguers, if they can't get to the luncheon, maybe they can come out to the ball game at 7 o'clock. So we're hoping for good things. We got started a little late, but everything's working in the direction of success. Mark and Rick.
Well, and I think the beautiful thing about that, Mark, is Mobile nationwide is known as a baseball city. It really is. And I mean, You talk to people in baseball, and boy, Mobile's had some of the greatest baseball players ever in Major League Baseball.
And have some of the great, you go back through high school baseball, and then those guys that go to college, you watch how they go and where they go, where they end up. And it's just a wonderful thing to see how much people recognize. You go around the country, you visit people, and we had some guys here from Chaminade High School not long ago in St. Louis, and they were down, and one of their dads was talking to me about Hank Aaron Stadium.
Yeah.
They had heard about Hank Aaron Stadium in St. Louis, what all that meant to this area. So, yeah, Mobile is well known throughout the United States about its baseball history.
And we're talking to Joey Warner. And, Joey, Dan Jennings would do anything in the world for Mobile, anything. That's a great connection I know that you have. And then, heck, the Houston Astros manager played for the University of Mobile, played for Mike over at the University of Mobile. I'm just sitting watching the TV, flipping it the other night, and Joey had already reported that, I think, a while back, hadn't you, Joey? But that's another great connection that you've got.
Oh, yes. And, Joe Espada, he looks up to him. Coach Mike Jacobs, he calls him a father figure, and Mike Jacobs was, he was on the verge of breaking 1,000 victories. I think he ended up with 993. And, he came up at Davidson High School, went on to play for Coach Eddie Stanky, and then founded that program at University of Mobile, and even the softball program. He founded that too, Rick and Mark. And Joe Espada came through, a Puerto Rican. He had several. I think he had six Puerto Ricans on his team when Espada played, and another guy from Baldwin County over there, called J.C. Romero, who is now the pitching coach with the University of Mobile. And yeah. I had, you mentioned the podcast earlier, I had JC and his wife on, who was a star softball player. Aaron Romero was a star softball player at University of Mobile. And I told JC, I said, man, I said, look, next year, I said, you know how good Joe the Spot has been doing. You know, and you and him are big buddies. I said, you know, the St. Louis Cardinals had a tough run with it, you know, this year. So, you know, we got Turner Ward out there.
Right.
Our own Turner Ward, as a hitting coach for the Cards. And we got Paul Goldschmidt, the former Mobile Bay Bear, that was just great player, playing first base. And then Brendan Donovan from South Alabama, he's everybody's hero if you're a young ball player. And you got Espada, who has been up for other managerial jobs.
Right.
But you know, and then, you know, Dusty Baker, you know, is on his – it stayed in there for so long. We all know that. And you know, he handed off to Joe Espada. But I told him, I said, J.C., listen, man, you go up there, let's get Joe Espada to the Cardinals, and you become the pitching coach, and look at our Mobile representation if that would happen. And he just laughed and said, well, I don't know. But, you know, I'm glad to see J.C. over there as a pitching coach for the University of Mobile. And Joe Espada, I couldn't be more proud of him. And you know, he was a great player too, Rick.
Yep,
I mean,
he
was. He should have been a major leaguer.
Yeah, I'll tell you a story about that too in just a minute. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come right back with Joey Warner talking more Mobile, Alabama baseball.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
Look out behind you. JoJo's got his gun. You know, boy, give me time, Randy, to hear this song. We look for more.
Oh, boy.
I guess Joey's going to have to like some Boz Skaggs. He's going to have to listen to it for a minute.
I like Boz Skaggs.
There you go.
Lito?
Joey, don't sing on your podcast.
One for the money, two for the show.
Oh, man.
Joey, when we left, Mark was talking about a couple of South Alabama guys that he really thinks a lot of.
Luis Gonzalez and Mike Mordecai, two guys that I remember when Mike Mordecai, when he came to South Alabama, I didn't know much. I mean, I hadn't lived down here then. I was living in Birmingham. Actually coached Mike when he was a ninth grade football player.
Yeah.
And got to coach and get to know him and his family a little bit. But, man, he went on to have a great career at South Alabama and got to play in the pros. And I think he got into coaching for a little while.
He did.
And But I knew Mike well and just, I mean, he did a great – and I didn't know much about South Alabama baseball until he came to South Alabama. And then, of course, we kept up with it all the time after that.
He was the head baseball coach at Auburn High School. And later on, he was a head baseball coach at Houston Academy.
He sure was.
In Dothan.
He sure was.
Joey, when you talk about Joe Espada, you were talking about they had about five or six Puerto Ricans. Terry Curtis and I umpired a lot of Mike Jacobs' games, and they did have a lot of Puerto Ricans on that team, but they had some really good baseball players, I can tell you that. And they were so well coached and so disciplined under Mike Jacobs, and that's a great group that they had there.
It sure was. And, you know, going back to Mike and the program that he built over there, and I don't know how he got those Puerto Ricans in there, but, you know, they pulled together to form a great baseball team. And JC was telling me on the podcast that that they had a reunion when they all came back, and just about all of them came back to Mike Jacobs. It was just before his death. I think it was November.
Right.
And Mike died in early December. And they had this reunion. And JC said that they got out there, and at 40 years old, about that was about their age, and they all got out there and took infield. And Mike, it was the last time JC made sure to made it clear that it was the last time that Mike hit infield before his death.
Yeah.
And they got out there, and what they used to do is chatter and get all fired up, just like we did. Now, I went out and watched his high school ball game the other night, and I couldn't believe it was like being at a funeral when they were taking infield. That's not the way we did it. We threw it around the horn, and we raised Cain, and we got all fired up trying to intimidate the other team and fire our own selves up. But that's exactly what they did out there at Mobile. And JC said that they had so much fun, you know, chattering and talking and talking each other up. And it took them back to their days at the University of Mobile Rams baseball back then. And you got JC and Joe Spahn, and there was a couple more really good ones. You called out there with Coach Terry Curtis. Yeah, you were having a good time because Coach Curtis used to umpire when I was playing high school baseball, and he was great to be behind the plate where I was, and that was cool stuff. Yeah, I'm sure it was, Rick.
A lot of people don't know that Terry Curtis was a heck of a baseball umpire, and he was a great baseball player too. He played here in Mobile and played on some great teams, and then went on and played at Auburn. And boy, I'm telling you, of course, everything he's done in football, he's the winningest high school football coach in the state. But Terry was as good a baseball umpire as ever been in this city. And there were some really good ones, I think, about the really good umpires that were here. But Terry was one of the truly best ones. You know, last week we had a really outstanding baseball series between Mary Montgomery with, I think is one of the premier high school coaches in the state right now, and Barry Hightower. And they played Baker and Tyler Mento, of course, who is a great player there at Baker High School, now the baseball coach there. Great high school baseball series. Joey, I don't know how much high school baseball you get to see, but when you talk about the coaches that we've got in high school baseball in Mobile and Baldwin County, we are blessed to have some tremendous, tremendous men coaching high school baseball in our area.
We really are. I mean, you mentioned that series with Mary Montgomery and Baker. It was a great atmosphere. You know, Tyler Mento, he was 23-0 as a player and played on two consecutive state championship teams, 2005 and 2006, under Bill Glover. Who Bill and his brother Rusty and his daddy Ben,
yep.
I'm sure that's a historic group right there. But Tyler's having a great season with Baker. You know, Connor Gatwood started the game. There was scouts from at least nine major league teams up there because he's been clocked anywhere from 97 to 99. He's clocked at 97 the other night. It was unfortunate. He had a finger injury, and it may hurt Baker. I don't know what his status is of playing, but I think he's got a broken finger. So that may hurt Tyler Mento. But Mary Montgomery is still in the hunt. They're playing Alma Bryant on the 7A level, and Coach Barry Hightower. You know, Coach Hightower was a tremendous ball player, played in the New York Mets organization.
Right.
He's a great pitcher. Yep. He actually had signed with South Alabama.
That's right.
Before he got drafted.
Out of Northview High School in Dothan. Sure was.
Wow. Yep. And, you know, Mark mentioned Mike Mordecai earlier, and that's so cool, Mark, to know that you coached him and you saw him on that level as a ninth grader. And I'm sure he had the ambition to go whatever sport he was excelling in, especially baseball, but he didn't know he was going to become the major league player that he did.
Yeah.
He had a great career with Florida Marlins. He had some key plays in their I think they're one of their World Series runs, and then he came over and played with the Atlanta Braves, and you know, we got to watch him every night.
Hey, Joey,
they put him in the game because the Braves were so good. But Mordecai was a player.
Joey, we got to get out of here. That segment got us quick. So thank you so much. Look forward to seeing you.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Press Report. This is not Randy Bergen. Randy Bergen's probably on the 8th tee by now, Mark. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm hoping he's 2 under.
Well, 2.
I hope he's 2 under.
I hope he's above ground. That's what I'm
hoping.
Well,
we're all above.
Yeah, that's right.
We're all hoping that.
I mean, he's not in the rough or somewhere
no,
like
exactly.
that.
No, exactly. I got
that's,
it.
That's what
yeah.
I'm hoping. Yeah. Okay. So, but, you know, we said we wanted to talk to Bart Heitz today and talk a little bit about high school basketball and kind of wrap that up. And I get kind of tickled. Alabama Sports Writers Association announces its Super State team. And I wanted to talk to Bart a little bit about that because there's a lot of really good players, young players in Alabama. And this guy knows it. He knows basketball inside out, upside down, backwards and forwards. But the most important thing I want to know about Bart is, well, first of all, welcome, Bart, to PSR. And second of all, how'd you play today at Old Overton?
Actually, it was good to be with you guys, as always. I was actually at Waverly over in Mississippi.
Oh, Waverly. Okay. So it was.
Yeah, okay. I'm a member over there. And we only got 9 in. I played really well, had one little hiccup on a tee shot. But other than that, I played pretty well. But you know those rain check 9? You know, it was a good 9. Had a lesson today, actually. And so I hadn't had one of those in a while. So I'm trying to get the golf game in shape for the summer.
Yeah, you played with us pretty good with my boys the other day, and you did well. And they're already begging for you to come back. So we'll
get you back. It was awesome, man. And I thank you for the invite so much. Just really cool to been something's been missing with having a golf group down in South Alabama. So I was very, very, very happy to play golf with you guys.
All right, I just got thrown a curve. So my co-host, or Randy's co-host, or Mark and I, we're the sidekicks. But anyway, he said, he wrote me a note and he said, is he from Winfield? So, Bart, you got to put up with what you're about to catch here, okay? We're keeping Bart, Steve, for 2 segments, by the way.
Right.
And so, but go ahead, Mark.
You know, us guys from Hamilton are not real fond of everybody from Winfield. But, Bart, we're going to overlook that today, okay, buddy?
I don't even know where you're talking about. Hamilton, Mississippi, or
hey, I got to tell you a story real quick. This is
Hey, go Big A.
Listen, I interviewed for the head coaching job at Hamilton High School with a guy, L.E. Tyra and Mr. Brazier. I can't think of his last name. The question they asked me was, Coach, this one question we got, can you beat Haleville? And I said, well, I hope so. I guess so. I said, but I think the question you ought to be asking is, can we beat Winfield?
Absolutely.
And turned out that year we beat Haleville and lost to Winfield. That's how that year went. But it
what
was,
year was that, Mark?
That you was remember? In 97. Yeah, 97.
Yeah, so I graduated. I played at Winfield from 91 to 95 from my 8th grade year on.
Yeah.
I lost to Hamilton, I think, once my 9th grade year and never lost again.
There you go.
So,
there you go, buddy.
That was pretty good.
I bet they didn't beat you in basketball, did they?
Nah, we actually, Hamilton owned us in football. Hamilton and Fayette. Walden Tucker, a lot of people know that legendary name, so I've had to see all that up close for years. But, yeah, we actually beat Hamilton my last 2 years, junior, senior year of football, and I've had a streak in basketball as well. But that rivalry – it's one of the more heated. I mean, people from Winfield don't. I mean, he'll tell you, Rick. Mark will. People from Winfield don't hang out with people from Alabama.
They don't. They don't.
Beth Hollingsworth and I, who I'll be playing the member guest at Musgrove Country Club with in Jasper. His daughter Mia just won a state championship and a state tournament MVP in 5A at Jasper City High School. But he and I are friends, and like everybody's always like, man, that's not really normal for people. So I respect it for sure.
I love it.
Bart, so let's talk about what you are an expert in. And he's a heck of a basketball player at Mississippi State. Played for Richard Williams.
I remember I saw him play.
You saw him play. Well, then that's good. And that's that. You got another fan club member down here now. So. The sports writers picked their top 5 players in the state of Alabama. And I'm going to read this list to you, and I want you to go from there. Cam Dooley from Valley, who's a dead-gum good football player. He signed with Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken. Dead-gum good football player. Cam is one of them. Ty Davis from Mountain Brook. Let's see. Of course, Caleb Harrison from Huntsville. And then we're going to get two that I know you love. I absolutely know you love them because I love them. Dwayne Brown from Hoover.
Yes.
And then Mr. Basketball, Caleb Holt. Is that the five best basketball players in the state of Alabama this year?
I mean, I think on the boys' side, yeah, I mean, I don't really have any arguments with a lot of those. I think a lot of times you can't pick all 7A's.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think, you know, a guy like a Salim London, maybe, at Hoover, who's won two state championships in a row and dominated the state championship game two years in a row. I think that's a name you could throw in there. You know, I think Jacoby Hill from Phoenix City is another name you could throw in. But, again, these names are high-level players. And so I think a lot of times you've got 7 or 8 players when you do have that. And that is not normal in this state, guys, for us to have this many players to where we would really even be talking about this conversation.
Right.
But, you've got a high-level recruit in Dooley in football now. If you ain't seen him play football, he is something different. But Dwayne Brown, I think, is the best big. We've talked about this, Rick, since DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah.
Different player. And actually Saturday, he'll be making his decision between the University of Tennessee and Mississippi State University. So it'll be interesting to see what he decides to do on his commitment. But I love Dwayne Brown. I think he's only going to get better. I think you're going to start seeing him face up. And when he starts doing that and he faces up and starts making jump shots from about 15 feet, if that happens, this guy, I mean, NBA talent, yes. If he gets where he step out, because I think he's a four in the league a little bit, or just a small five. But I love him. Obviously, I love Caleb Holt. I think he's generational. But Caleb Harrison and Ty Davis both, I think, are going to have really, really, really good college careers. You know, the dynamic that's crazy now is, you know, when Caleb goes to Stanford, he's going to continue to develop and become a great player. So fundamental, great work ethic. But, guys, you know, if he goes to Stanford, if Bucky McMillan gets a job somewhere, he's probably going somewhere there too. So this dynamic is different where these kids may be. And I can't wait to see Ty Davis in the Big East in that Creighton offense. I think it'll be so neat to watch him not have to create so much from a scoring standpoint, because Ty Davis is a true point guard, and I think McDermott's system is perfect. I think with a year under his belt, you're going to see Ty Davis do special things as well. But no, man, I mean, I don't really have any quarrel with this list. I mean, these guys on this list have really good resumes, and you could argue that. But there's also a couple of guys that could have been on this list, I think, from a talent standpoint. Tucker Wadsworth from Enterprise, how he played throughout the entire year.
Right.
But, you know, there's only room for five. And so that's what the committee voted, and I actually don't have a whole lot of trouble.
Well, we're going to take a break here in a minute, but we're going to come back and talk about the girls, too. And I know who's at the top of the list of the girls, and I hadn't even seen it. I've waited to talk to you to get that list. I know who's at the top of the list, and she's going to Alabama. And I know that makes you happy, Mark. But, you know, there's another kid down here that nobody's recruiting. I mean, junior colleges, a couple of junior colleges recruiting. The Hester boy from he's from Jackson. And
oh, you're talking about
Michael Kester. Michael Kester.
I love Michael Kester.
I do, too. I do, too.
And I feel like he is going under the radar. He is a perfect example of one of the high school kids who is getting left behind because of the portal and NIL and the transfer rules. But Micah Kester, I've said it on air, remember the name. That kid, if it's not next year, if he does have to go through the JUCO rank, Micah Kester will play somewhere. So anytime you make 7 out of 8 threes in a state championship game, put up 30, put your team on your back like he did.
Yep.
A legacy for his mom that she played in the state tournament, scored 30 points as well. Micah Kester is another name. I'm glad you brought him up because I love his game, and he's a great kid too.
All right, we're going to take a break and just let you get a glass of water or something, and we're going to come back here, and we're going to talk about the 5 top girls in Alabama. And listen, the thing about Bart, boys and girls, and he's teaching them too. He still does a little bit of that. He's just started a new job, but he's on top of high school basketball in this state. We'll be right back with Bart Heitch right here on PSR, Mark and Rick on a beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
Hi, welcome back to PSR, the Thompson Tractor PSR. And Mark Lassiter, Rick Cleveland, Randy Bergen's on assignment today. Should be on about number 10 or 11 right now.
Yeah.
And, hoping he's playing well. Yeah. But we're talking to who I think is as knowledgeable as anybody in the southeastern part of the United States about high school basketball. And you folks that live in North Alabama that listen to our show, I know you're familiar with Bart, but if you caught him on the Alabama Educational Channel where we had the Final Four, I know you can't call it that anymore, but that's what we call it, Bart and my buddy Kevin Skrbinski, they did all the broadcasting and did a fabulous job. And so, Bart, I want to go through these young ladies, and we'll start with an eighth grader that I know you're familiar with, Belle Hill from Mars Hill, one of the top lady basketball players in the state of Alabama. Ivy Maddox from Good Hope. She's a senior. By the way, Belle Hill is an eighth grader. Wow. Of course, then Ivy Maddox from Good Hope. She's a senior. The next one is Jordan Hunter from Hewitt Trustful Mark. She's a senior as well. Then you got to go to Leah Brooks, a forward that played for Hazel Green, and they won the seventh straight 6A title, and we know who that basketball coach is and what a fabulous job he's done. And Leah is an Alabama signee as well as the number one player in the state of Alabama, and that's Ace Austin. She plays for her dad, Ricky, at Spring Garden. But she hadn't signed with Alabama because she's a junior. But right. She's committed to Alabama, right. And she's a heck of a basketball player. Talk a little bit about those ladies, Bart.
Well, I feel like, you know, at first I like to talk about the youngest. Belle Hill is generational. And she is just now starting to, I think, find her outside game. That's what I started seeing during the season. Belle Hill, now basketball doesn't really have a position like a lot of wing players or point guards. A lot of point guards can post up. You know, the movement, it's all about matchups now, and there's not a lot of rim protection. So I think Belle Hill's dynamic. I think playing 2A as she does, it doesn't help her as much as maybe some of the teams that play 6A, 7A throughout the course of the high school season. But with her work ethic in the gym, I've seen her work out, and the level that her mom, Mamie Rutherford, a lot of people remember she played at Alabama, the work ethic of Belle Hill is elite, and she will continue to get better. I do want to see her start being more selfish, guys, if you will, from the perimeter. At that 2A level, she gets downhill, and she can get in and just big boy, or big girl, if you will, folks. I would like to see her when she steps out because I think she can. I think her best attribute is her passing, but I think she is a sniper from the outside. I think you'll start seeing her really step it up 25 feet. As far as Jordan Hunter, I've known Jordan her whole life, pretty much. Her brother Jackson played for me on her Big Joe's Ballers AAU team. Cedric and Tanya Hunter are two of the best people in basketball. Known them for a long time. Big Auburn fans. Their son plays at AUN. It was a dream for Jordan to go to Auburn. I think if Jordan Hunter, if Hewitt wins the state championship, I actually think Jordan Hunter would have been Miss Basketball. Yeah. And I can speak to that from a sense because I thought I probably had a chance to be Mr. Basketball back in 1995 as well if we would have won it. But Brian Williams won it at JD. And so I think those state championships and winning those have a lot to do with who is Mr. and Miss Basketball. Leah Brooks is going to Alabama, and she's not going to play the same position in Alabama that she plays at Hazel Green and has. I thought she might get some votes for Miss Basketball, being a senior, winning five, I think, state championships in a row. I know four for her under Coach Tim Miller, just the legacy and pedigree they've built. But Leah was kind of nicked up throughout the course of the year and didn't really hit her stride, I think, as everyone thought she would just be so dominant. But one of the reasons is because Hillsbury had a lot of pieces, and they just continued to reload. I'm Ivy Maddox impressed me the last couple of years every single time I watched her play. That Good Hope team, Justin Abbey, what he did to go win that state championship, that Good Hope team was the real deal. And what those guards did, the Tetro twins, they were dynamic. I call them midges. I don't know if y'all know what a midge is, but a midge is smaller than a gnat, and they're in Scotland. And I got me some of them about two summers ago. And that's just the old girls who are garden people. Fouling, but getting away with it. And, I mean, they're so quick. But I love watching that Good Hope. Ava McSwain as well. I love watching those teams play. Ivy Maddox is one of those players that could go Division II and end up being a Division I player in 2 years. That's a perfect example of a kid that just gets better and better, and there's not a whole lot that Ivy doesn't do well. I really like the fact that she possibly at the next level will be able to guard three positions, and that's a huge deal. And, I mean, when you want to talk about Ace Austin, I mean, she is – it's different, and they call her the phenom, and she deserves every bit of it. And you can't argue – I mean, Ace Austin – is, you know, she's been the standard at the state tournament. Yeah, it's 1A. Yeah, I get it. I understand it's a competition level. The length's not there. The defense is not there as much. But when Spring Garden steps up out of their schedule, she does the same thing. Those numbers don't change. And I think you're going to see – I want to see her just like Belle Hill. I think when they get to the next level, guys, they're going to have to really lean more on shooting the basketball from the perimeter. Because it's a 1A and 2A level, you're not able to finish around the rim and get to that paint and be as physical as I think they're able to do right now. But I think both of them can shoot it. I think they'll be able to step out and step up when they get to the next level. There is another name I want to mention, guys. Chloe Ford from Hoover is going to be as good of a big, the lefty number 5. She can step out and shoot it. She blocks shots. She is a beast on the interior. I think that is a name everyone needs to really go into next year looking at. She is worth the watch at Hoover, number 5, Chloe Ford.
Well, Bart, you know, I want to give you an opportunity. You've started a new job. Do you want to give them a plug right here?
I'm still trying to figure out how I receive it. But yes, Easy Mineral Water is my new job, and we will be in stores. And everybody look for Easy Mineral Water. I think it's just something that people are going to really enjoy understanding the science behind it, behind what we do, how it's able to just relax and calm, and just really, it's a product that I think is going to burst on the scene. A lot of healing involved, a lot of post-workout stuff. There's just a lot of reasons, I think, that people are steering away from alcohol, if you will, Rick.
Yep.
A lot of problems. I've been very transparent about a lot of problems I've had in my life are because of alcohol. And anytime you have a substitute to that, I think that's dynamic, and I think a lot of people are going to start paying attention. So look for Easy Mineral Water.
Easy Mineral Water.
Source.
Yep. And let me tell you, I snuck one out of Bart the other day. He didn't even know it till now. And let me tell you, I drank it that night. I hadn't been that calm in 45 years.
This is going to be in stores.
It's going to be all over, and we'll get that to you.
I'd love to have some.
Hey, Bart, thanks a bunch, pal.
Yes, sir.
I hope that.
Hey, absolutely, and I'll go ahead and give a plug for that. May the 25th, there's going to be a somewhat block party over at the new Greer's. If y'all seen that supermarket,
yep.
We will be bringing our trailer down there, and we will have Easy Mineral Water on tap for people to try as it goes into the store.
Well, we can't wait to see you. We can't wait to see you there, Bart, but we'll see you before then. You take care. God bless. Safe journeys, buddy.
Save me a spot next weekend. I'll be there Sunday.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
All right, welcome back to the Prep Sports Report, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, and boy, what a great show we've had. Joey Warner talking about baseball. The man, Bart Heitz, talking, kind of closing out high school basketball season. And now I want to talk about, you know, as daddies, we always want our children to be in a safe vehicle. And when there's a problem with Katie's car, whether she's in Atlanta, whether she's in Mobile, the only place we take it is to Premier Collision. We take it to Chris Garris. And he and Kim out there at Premier Collision at 1177 Sledge Drive. And you'll always get Tyler, and Tyler will take, oh, man, he'll take great care of you, take care of all of your needs, all of your automotive needs. And when you look at the things that people say, fantastic service, high-quality work, looks fresh off the showroom. Mark, you can attest to that. Highly recommend. They always take great care of me and my family. Excellent customer service and quality of work was absolutely great. Yeah, they're talking about Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. really until sundown. I mean, they're there. You can give them a call at 251-478-4500, and, boy, they will take great care of you, Mark. I know that your Sonata is, man. What
like
year
brand
is
new. What 2010.
Year? Gosh. And it looked brand new.
It did.
Yeah, I'm telling you. When we looked in the
my dad wanted
line,
to know if I got a new car. You know, he said, "Where'd you get? Did you get a new car?" I said, "Dad, it's the same Sonata I had 15 years ago."
And who's having a birthday this week?
Birthday. Who's having a birthday? Who's having a...
Okay.
Oh, whoa, whoa. My dad
You're
had
right.
it today.
That's right. But wake up, boy.
Man, that's just normal for me, man. I'm getting senile.
Well, happy birthday, Mr. Dwayne Lassiter.
Yes,
isn't
sir.
That right?
That's
I
right.
guarantee you, happy birthday to you. And
88
years old. May God bless you and all of your family. Lord, have mercy. No. Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive. You got a little fender bender, give Kim and Tyler and Chris a call, I promise you. That's all we need to say. That's all you need to do is just give them a call. You know, our leadership segment is brought to you by GoPest, and that's one of Nathan Cox's, I guess, subsidiary deals, and do such a great job. I've seen a couple of advertisements on TV. If you get a chance, give GoPest a chance to take care of all of your pest needs. They certainly will do a quality job. I can promise you that. You know, Mark, you and I have said we're sorry to so many times in our life, and we've apologized for our behavior, and now you're going to tell people you're going to do something about it. I mean, you just, what is it? What am I willing to change now? If a tree falls in the forest and no one hears it fall, did it make a sound? No one hears it fall? That's the general conundrum behind why it's critical that you take the next two steps of the leadership is a contact sport behavioral change model very seriously. You've absolutely got to do them or this whole process just isn't going to work. So what are they? They are involve and change. Involving is like advertising. You have to tell everyone exactly in what area you plan to change. You've said you're sorry. You've apologized for the behavior. Now you're going to tell people you're going to do something about it. This is a tough one because it's a lot harder to change people's perceptions of your behavior than it is to change your behavior. That's because people view you in accordance with their existing stereotype. For example, if you think I'm an arrogant jerk, then everything you do, think, or feel about me will be filtered through that perception. And within this framework, it's almost impossible for me to be perceived by you as improving, no matter how hard I try. This is the case of but being a really good word to use despite the previously prescribed no. But, however, bad habit discussed in teaching leadership, what to stop series. And that's a pretty neat thing that Mr. Keaton has given us. And anyway, your odds of being perceived or getting better greatly improved if you tell people you're going to try to change. Suddenly your efforts are on their radar screens, and if you tell everyone how hard you are trying and repeat the message week after week, your odds improve again. And your odds improve even more when you ask people for ideas on how you can get better. That's a good point there. You know, Mark, I never have a problem asking you, what can I do better? How can I be better? How can I help fix this problem? people become invested in you, and they're paying attention to see if you are using their suggestions. With all this advertising, people start to accept the possibility of a new you, and you have pointed everyone's attention in the direction of the falling tree. Change is simple, but it's not easy. It's hard. You have to do it. You have to put in the time and the effort that it takes to change. That's one of the big reasons why we take what we do so seriously. When people commit to getting better, they are doing something difficult and heroic. There isn't a quick fix or an easy solution. Lasting goal achievement requires a lot of time, hard work, personal sacrifice, ongoing effort, and dedication to a process that is maintained over the years. So you're committed, and you're ready, and you're willing to change. So what holds you back? What might keep you from following through on your commitment to change? It comes in the form of a dream that most of us have had. I'm sure most of us have had this dream often. It goes something like this. You know, I'm incredibly busy right now. I'm busier than I've ever been. I feel overcommitted. My life even feels a little out of control. We're working on some unique changes now, and I think the worst of this will be over in a couple of months. After that, I'm going to spend a couple of weeks getting organized, spending time with the family, working out, and everything's going to change then, and it won't be crazy anymore. You ever had that dream? Yeah. How long you been having this dream? How's it working for you? If you want to change anything about yourself, the best time to start is now. Yes, you could ask yourself, what am I willing to change now? Well, you just do that. That's more than enough for now. Kind of reminds me of my buddy Jolene Roxbury. And, boy, if you hadn't caught her show, check her out today at 4 o'clock. She'll tell you how to change real quick. And if you don't change, you may be riding down the wrong side of the road in a backwards vehicle. But, yeah, you catch our buddy Jolene Roxbury today at 4 o'clock. Then in the morning at 7 if you want to hear her too. Change is tough, Mark.
Oh, man, change. You know, I remember when I was studying for my master's degree, I was taking an administrative course.
Sure.
And it was one of the big catchphrases back at that time was called change agents.
Yeah.
Are you a change agent?
Yeah.
You know, you ready to make changes.
Make changes.
You know, that kind of thing. You got to be a change agent. And we do, but first, for me, I don't know about anybody else, but for me, I have to be a change agent in my own life before I can do anything to help anybody in my periphery.
Yeah.
I can't do anything to help anybody do anything if my heart is not right, if my change agent self hasn't changed me. And that's not an easy place to be. You know, I remember some people telling me one time, man, don't get caught in your own head. It's a nest of snakes up there.
Nest of snakes.
You don't want to be caught in that place. And that's so true, because we can get caught in our own head about what we think is right, what we think should be done, what I think Rick Cleveland ought to do on a daily basis, and none of my business.
Yeah.
You know, all I have to do is be who I am. And one of the things that I love about where I work, is that I have opportunity to talk to some folks at my place where I work that are just fine people.
Yeah.
And we talk about things. And one of the things, we don't always agree.
Right.
You know, we don't.
It's okay to disagree.
It is. And it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Go into a football coaches meeting on a Sunday afternoon, and if there's not some people in there arguing, then you got problems.
Yeah.
Because everybody in that room, whether we like it or not, is kind of an alpha. You're kind of a guy who believes in something. Yeah. You want to see it happen, but you're going to have your, but it comes a time where you say, this is what I think. I'm going to lay it out there. And then everybody else shares it. And but the head coach comes to the answer and says, this is what we're going to do. And everybody goes and does it.
Isn't that cool?
That's the way it's supposed to be done. But today, just for example, had a moment. I was talking with Jamie Ferguson. Jamie, you know, one of the guys helped save my life.
Yeah.
You know, he was there and giving me CPR, you know, and And I've had the pleasure of getting to know his two boys.
Right.
Luke, his
good golfer boy.
Good golfer, good soccer player, good football kicker. He turned 18 today.
Isn't that amazing?
You know? But Jamie and I were talking just a little while ago about something, about what of our jobs to do and what is it to do. And he says this all the time, and it's not fake. It's to bless people's lives.
Yep.
Every day. Now, he may, as an AD, he's going to say some things.
That's right.
May not make you very happy.
Yeah.
That's his job. But at the same time, we're supposed to bless one another.
Yeah.
And so the change agent in me had to learn a long time ago that that's okay. It's okay to look inside me and change what's there so I can hopefully help bless other people.
Man, we get the Camp Grace segment twice today. That's good. Yeah. Man, that's good stuff.
That is good stuff.
Good. We'll be right back with more PSR right here on the Thompson Tractor Pro Sports Report.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, it's funny, Rick, you mentioned a few minutes ago about it being my dad's birthday. I got to thinking about him the other day when I was thinking about what we're going to talk about today. And Dad was, outside of Gadsden, Alabama, a little old area known as Coates Bend.
Yeah.
It's the bend in the Coosa River.
Coosa River.
And he farmed all those bottomlands down there. And there's more stories I could tell you. I could spend 2 days telling you Dwayne Lassiter stories about leaving the tractor running in the field one day. So his daddy thought he was plowing the field when actually he had gotten in a boat and rowed across the river to play baseball down at ball play.
And with his brother.
With his brother, who was already there. He had snuck off some other way. But he comes back that evening after playing baseball. My granddaddy's standing out there by the tractor waiting on him. It was not a good day. But Daddy was a farmer. He always, as growing up as a kid, we always had a garden.
Yeah.
We always had a garden.
Yeah.
Daddy was going to have that garden. And he used to make me so dang mad because it'd be summertime and Daddy would get up and go work. And before he'd leave, we always had breakfast at the table there. And Dad would say, son, I need you to get out there and pick all them peas this afternoon. I hated picking peas because you had to bend over so far. Now, I liked the pole beans because you could stand up and do the pole beans. I didn't like the okra because it burned your arms up, cutting that okra. But anyway, we always had a garden.
Yeah.
Daddy loved it. And I loved to eat it. I just didn't like to work in it. I didn't like shelling peas. I didn't like breaking beans. I didn't like any of that stuff. But we'd do it, and we did it religiously for all through my childhood.
Yeah.
And I look back on it today, and I kind of get a little bit why, Daddy, but we were always kind of that way. And I didn't like doing that, but I liked working in my yard. I've always, up until about 4 or 5 years ago, I can't bend over and pull the weeds out of them. And it hurt my knees swell up so bad, so I just quit.
Yeah.
But we had one time in our backyard, we had all kind of plants.
Yeah.
I mean, we counted up one time. Michelle counted up because Michelle thought I'd lost my mind. I had nearly 300 plants I'd planted in these natural areas around our – but I was thinking about this topic, and how Daddy kind of showed me how to work gardens and work flower beds. And that, when I was a kid, I kind of knew how to do it.
Yeah.
But – I was reading this thing the other day, made me think about it, and I'll tie all this together. The little thing is an inspirational quote that I read. I don't even know who wrote it, but it says, if you spend your time chasing butterflies, they're going to fly away. But if you spend your time making a beautiful garden, butterflies will come to you.
Wow.
When you focus on improving yourself, everything you want will come to you. It's just what we were talking about in the last segment.
That's right.
We attract based on who we are, not what we want.
Yep.
Don't chase, attract. So I was I'm reading that, and I got to thinking about that. That is so true.
Yeah.
I love seeing butterflies and stuff in the springtime. It's just kind of, it's soothing. You know, I know it sounds kind of crazy, but I like sitting on my back deck. I like watching. We got a bluebird nest. My daddy had built a house, a little bird house for bluebirds, and it's on our fence. And I can see them back there through the little trees doing their little thing back there. But I remember, I love watching that kind of stuff. But Mama had told me when I was putting this flower bed together, she says, get you some butterfly bushes. Now, I don't know what the actual scientific name is, but we planted them.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's a nice name. Sounds pretty, yada, yada. I didn't think anything about it. Come the next spring, when those things bloomed out, there were butterflies everywhere. They're all over the place.
Really?
Yeah. They were attracted to this certain flower
right on
this bush. And so as I was thinking about that, and we're talking about changing ourselves and who we are.
Yeah.
Man, had I thought about planting that garden in my heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
40 years ago when I first started coaching and really got and really planted the right garden in there. That wasn't about me, had no pride, wasn't any ego in it. It was all about what can I do to bless the people around, bless these kids.
Yeah.
What can I do? You said it a minute ago. We've said we're sorry so many times. Yeah. You know, and I'll continue to because I wish I'd done things better.
Me too.
I do. But today, the thing we got, Rick, is we get to get up every day and go and remember that, remember what that was. But we get to go forward and say, I'm going to bless somebody today.
Yep.
That's not going to be me anymore. Yep. I don't want that guy anymore. I don't want him to be in my life anymore.
Yep.
And it's just not chasing butterflies is such a great thing to think about.
Yep.
Put you a little butterfly bush out there, and they'll come to you.
You know, and the beauty of that is, Mark, we get to bless children.
Yep.
And I told somebody the other day, I said, I don't necessarily like being around a lot of adults. I'm so used to being around children and probably act more like a child anyway. But I love, just like you do, putting your arms around a little boy that you know he's got some problems at home. But at the same time, you make him feel good about himself.
That's right.
And See, that just warms our heart. That's what
it
does. And to make a difference in a child is something that's
well, there's a story for you. I was told today about one of our golfers. He was on 14 at Rock Creek the other day, and he double bogeyed it.
Yeah.
And he had a great round going, double bogeyed it. Walked off the ground, off the green, walked to the tee box, hits that next one right straight down the pipe.
Yep.
All right? Yeah. He'd already learned a lesson. A lesson you can't teach in a lot of places, how to pick yourself up and go forward.
Man, amen. Boy, that's great stuff. Steve, thank you so much for being here and doing this for us today. And you know what, folks? There's somebody out there you need to say I'm sorry to. Make sure you do that within the next 24 hours. It'll make you feel better, and it'll sure make their life light up. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. See you here, same place, same time.